The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. It is the 19th of July, 2018. It is great to be with you here across the platforms of 660 AM, The Answer, Dallas-Fort Worth, and in the slightly cooler confines of San Antonio on Freedom 1160. I hope everybody is on board this morning for our first hour, and thanks for hanging out. So what do you want to do? You want to do Trump stuff or heat stuff? Which one do you want to do first? Let me tie a bow around the Trump stuff of the last 21 hours since we last finished broadcasting together. And then we got to talk about it's this old saying, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. Well, people are talking about the weather. It's an actual topic. It's an actual concern. And I've got some questions for you about life lived in a furnace. I mean, we know it's Texas. It's kind of like you're probably not going to, you know, go up to WJR in Detroit in the middle of February and have the talk show lines filled with people saying, man, it's cold up here. You know, it's Michigan. It's February. It's going to be hell on earth. Well, it's Texas. It's summertime. We're going to get triple digits. But man, this is we're talking possible record-breaking stuff. And I've got a couple of questions for you in navigating this, and I'll get to those here in just a second. The president was on a network TV newscast again last night. Jeff Glore over at the CBS Evening News. They had a bit of a Q&A about, and it's all coming down to the parsing of certain words. Remember in the Clinton years, it was about what the definition of is. It all depends on what the definition of is. And now we've got, the definition of would. I said would. I meant wouldn't. And then yesterday, as I said no. Sarah Sanders at the lectern at the press briefing. Here's how this all goes about the no. What was he saying no to? Here's the last 12 hours in a nutshell. Cecilia Vega of ABC, their chief White House correspondent now, was standing in the room, the big cabinet room where almost everything seems to happen now. And the light stayed on this time. That's always good. Said, do you believe that the Russians are still, you know, right now trying to target the 2018 elections? And there's shutters clicking and the press aides are trying to get everybody out. We're kind of wrapping up. Okay, wrap it up. Let's go. And he and the president is like looking at two or three people saying two or three things at the same time and says no. And Ms. Vega is of the mind, and she may be right. I don't know. See, that's the whole point. I don't know. Sometimes you just don't know. But I've got a solution for you moving forward once I get to the end of this story. So Cecilia Vega says, I asked him twice. I asked him twice if he believes that the Soviets are targeting the Soviets. I'm an old guy. I'm a 1970s guy. If the Russians are targeting the 2018 elections, he told me no twice. Well, no, he said no twice. But the Sarah Sanders line in the press briefing yesterday was that he was saying no, like, no, I'm done. I'm done answering questions. The thing was dismantling as he spoke. No, like, no, like, no, I'm not going to cover that now. No. And so that Sarah's point is he was saying no, like, nope, I'm not going there. We're done. Bye. And Cecilia Vega's point was, I asked him, are the Russians targeting the 2018 elections? And he told me no, as surely as if we were just sitting in a room ourselves over coffee. I asked him the question. He answered me to my face. Now, the reason she went with this narrative is so that she could foment further discord and show some tape of the director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, saying, Heck yeah, the Russians have their eye on our 2018 elections. Absolutely, they intend further cyber mischief. You know, the warning light is blinking red, and we better be on top vigilance for this. Which, by the way, is exactly what our national attitude should be about this. And for all I know, that is the president's attitude toward this. Except, you know, you get your occasional Helsinki, you get your occasional, you know, cabinet room. No, you know, and it's so here's what you do. Since it's impossible to read minds, you read actions. This is true in a relationship. It's true in personal life. It's true in politics. Since you can't read words are what they are. Read actions. Actions speak louder than words. There's a reason why that's an ancient aphorism. It's true. So, and the president, by the way, has been spending an enormous amount of time over these last few days saying, you know, I'm stronger. Nobody's ever been stronger on Russia than I have. I'm way stronger than Obama. And he's completely. I'm not even doing Trump. I'm doing Alec Baldwin doing Trump, like I said in the listener lunch yesterday. Thanks to everybody that showed up to the listener lunch at Crossroads yesterday. It was great. We got another one of those coming in September. Watch this space for your invite to that. But so you look at actions. You look at behaviors, right? Do we still have sanctions? Yes. Do they seem to be going anywhere? No. Do we still have troops in Syria? Yes, we do. Are they going anywhere? No. Did we throw a bunch of diplomats, Russian diplomats, out when they threw a bunch of our people out? Yes. Did we bomb Syria in close proximity to Russian planes and planes that Russia bought? Yes. So just enough of this garbage that this was a subjugation of American interests to a Russian dictator. Just enough. And the John Brennans and the and Comey's. Jeff Glor asked him, said, do you think there are people in the intelligence community who are out to get you? And he said, well, you take a look at what has come before. Take a look at John Brennan. Take a look at James Clapper. Take a look at James Comey. Take a look at various people. General Michael Hayden with that Auschwitz photo in his tweet talking about separating children from the border when their law-breaking parents come across. Yeah, as my word, not the president's, but he may adopt it any time. It's a den of snakes. It's a den of snakes. And if an article of, it's an article of faith, an article of anything, it's to believe 100% of what the intelligence community says. I believe our intelligence community is filled with honorable, wonderful, hardworking people who are human beings, which means every once in a while they may mess up, and every once in a while they may be out to get the incumbent president. Now, all of them, no. Most of them, no. Even a significant percentage of them, no. But if it's enough people who are powerful enough, Peter Strzok, then you got a real problem. Now, does that mean that the president should doubt everything that that comes out of those intelligence communities in terms of Russian meddling in 2016? No. And I don't believe that he does particularly doubt those. I think his public stance is what it is, because he does not want to lend one match to the already blazing fire of the false narrative that his election is illegitimate. The moment the president comes out, if he had delivered that wagging finger lecture to Putin in Helsinki, told him where to stuff that World Cup soccer ball, as I've said a few times, the media narrative that day, today, you know, for the next 1,000 days would be that's the day that Trump admitted that Russia helped him across the finish line. That was the day that Trump admitted that that his victory was illegitimate. So he's never going to do that. He is never going to tap dance to their tune. He is never going to do what the dominant media culture wants him to do, even if it's objectively reasonable to do. That's just the way the guy rolls. And you can like that, not like that, but just please understand it. Have I got a little bit of, yeah, I've got the president and Jeff Glor. Here's a minute or so of how that went.
You say you agree with U.S. intelligence that Russia meddled in the election in 2016.
Yeah, but, and I've said that before, Jeff. I have said that numerous times before. And I would say that that is true, yeah.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
Ta-da. Okay, can we, you know, I mean, I'm actually, since the damage here, it's day three of damage control. He's taking on water. He's fighting off impeachment. Oh, he's going down for the third time. No. And in fact, really honestly, do you know what is happening as everybody is doing these goofy little kabuki dances post-Helsinki? Brett Kavanaugh is getting step by step closer to the Supreme Court. And every day that the president's haters are setting their hair on fire with this faux outrage about Trump and Putin, let it go. Keep it up, guys. Keep it up. Don't let it go. In fact, keep it up, because every day that you're doing that, you're not bagging on Brett Kavanaugh. So whatever you want to do, choose your hyperventilating overreaction. Just pick it and go with it.
What'd you say to him?
Very strong on the fact that we can't have meddling. We can't have any of that. Now, look, we're also living in a grown-up world. Will a strong statement, you know, President Obama supposedly made a strong statement. Nobody heard it.
But he denies it. So if you believe U.S. intelligence agencies, is Putin lying to you?
I don't want to get into whether or not he's lying. I can only say that I do have confidence in our intelligence agencies as currently constituted. I think I did great at the news conference. I think it was a strong news conference. I think we did extremely well. And I think the press makes up the fight. Look, it's fake news and people understand. The level of dishonesty in your profession is extremely high.
But the press covered the substance and the wording of that press conference accurately.
I don't care what they covered.
I don't care what they... It's Trump going Trey Gowdy. I don't care what annoys you, Mr. Strzok. They covered it all right. Covered it with their own bias, covered it with their own hatred, covered it with their own spin. And so for the last couple of days, it's been the president, maybe not in the most skillful example of explanation ever on display, but this story is gone. I just have to chuckle that from the Schumers and the Pelosi's to the Michael Moores and other denizens of the Hollywood left, they really thought we got him now. We got him now. Laura Ingraham had a thing last night that it's like Roadrunner and the Coyote. He's the Roadrunner, the press are the Coyote. And they think that, you know, when they open up that Acme rocket skates, that they got him. This time they finally got him. Meanwhile, you know, meep, meep, you know. So, that sound makes me happy. That sound makes me happy. How of a certain age, it's very generational. How many of you spent your Saturday mornings watching, Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner, the magnificent old school, sometimes classical or big band music? In the case of Roadrunner, not a word spoken, just nothing but the glorious imagery of that lifetime futility of wild E. Coyote chasing down the Roadrunner. Meep, meep. And in fact, that goes to the root of what I miss about all the cartoons. Kids today don't have those cool cartoons to watch on Saturday morning anymore. And you know what's missing? Good, glorious, soul-cleansing violence. Because the coyote would get killed 7 times per episode. And seconds later, he's just fine. You know, opening up the Acme jet engine to blast the Roadrunner to smithereens that you know is not going to work.
Meep, meep.
And he's gone. And every time the coyote would drop off of that cliff, because today's media, today's cartoons, today's kid stuff is all just is a blinding. Crescendo, blinding, a deafening crescendo of just sound, 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 bam, 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 you know, your brain just leaks out your ears because of the sensory overload. But when the coyote was chasing the Roadrunner. And the Roadrunner will right around the corner, you know, a million miles an hour. And the coyote is on the Acme rocket-powered jet skis or whatever and would go right off the side of the cliff. And there would be silence. And the coyote would look at the camera and his eyes would bug out knowing what lay ahead. And, and you see the camera from above as the coyote seems to drop into the Snake River Canyon in Idaho some mile or so below. And they just you hear the whistle of his descent and it's just quieter and quieter and quieter. And you lean into the TV and with his impact, just they don't have restraint anymore in art, and they don't have that's God. In my day, we had those things in cartoons, and we liked it. All right, here's something that's hard to like. The sun has been up for about 50 minutes. 5:00 sunrise this morning was technically 6:33. I ran out to take a look at my car's thermometer thing. It was 90 at sunrise. 90 at sunrise. Sounds like an old Gary Cooper movie. That can't be good. So what lies ahead? And what do you do about it? Because there's some stuff going on. I mean, I don't think summer's hot in Texas. It should not ideally have a death toll. And so let's take a look at some stuff that might need to be a little bit retooled in our schedules when we continue. Mark Davis, it is 7:23. Little Dave Brubeck. Need some cool jazz on a 147 degree day. I do not know where this came from. Hang on a second. I'm going to tweet it.
I'll tweet everything that I want you to see.
I think one of Lisa's Facebook buddies found it, but it came from somewhere. And it's funny. And it gets us into the notion of the weather. It's, you know, like you'll be watching the news and you'll see the 5-day forecast. I this must be from some other market or something, or maybe it's just fictitious. It is fictitious, but I don't know if this is based on a real weather person. Glenn's 5-day forecast. I don't even know who Glenn is. Glenn's 5-day forecast. Tuesday, bright sun, the sun with the sunglasses, 98. Then on Wednesday, the sun has a slightly ambivalent look on its face for the high of 137. On the third day, the face on the sun looks genuinely concerned with a high of 209. Friday, okay, and then Friday, so it's 98, 137, 209, and then Friday, the sun has gone fully red and has sprouted devil horns, and it says on fire. And on Saturday, the forecast symbol is like a Hiroshima-style nuclear blast. It says, we die. Woo! Ah, we laugh lest we sweat like pigs. All right, look, I got to get this bottom of the hour. Pause. And Mike Gallagher's on the other side. But let me just share real quick, okay? Real quick. Where are we in terms of records and stuff? We've had 5 straight days of triple digits. That's nothing. It's a walk in the park. If we get 18... If we get 13 more days of triple digits, that just gets us into the top 10 of hottest stretches ever. The legendary 1980, 42 straight days of triple digits from June 23rd to August 3rd of that sweltering year. But here's the deal, okay? Hey, guess what today is? Dollar Day at the Dallas Zoo. Good. Is that a good idea? I mean, yeah, but whoa, huh? Drum Corps International, old news director buddy Dan Potter of all up in that still. They got something going on in Denton. It's folks, you know, run around, march around carrying tubas. It's an evening thing, but I think that but they have postponed that. I mean, I don't know if they're postponing it to like 10 p.m. or I do not know. Check local listings. There's a softball tournament, some big old softball tournament going on in Plano tonight. But again, what does tonight mean? You know, the first pitch of a softball game at 7:00, it's still 100 and something. But while we're talking about While we're talking softball, baseball, things of that nature, ready for this? Hang on. Let's get the revised forecast, not Glenn's forecast, where it'll be 209. Ooh. Sunday, right, tomorrow 107. This is my phone talking to me now. Phone tomorrow 107, Saturday 109, Sunday 107, Monday 107. So let's stay with that Sunday 107 for a moment, all right? Sunday 107. Where would you like to be at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon? You want to know where some people are going to be? Rangers game. What? I know. I mean, every once in a while, even in a Texas summer, they'll sprout a day game, especially on a Sunday, because everybody'd like to get the Sunday game over with so they can get on a plane, get to their respective next destination for a Monday night game. Rangers, Cleveland Indians, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Is that even a good idea? Is it a good idea to go? Is it a good idea to play? What do you do? Oh, well, let's make it 7 p.m. Oh, great. Then it'll be 1:04. How about this? Have they ever started a baseball game at 9 o'clock in the morning? I know that's a little weird, but I'd go. And so we got to figure this out. We got some stuff to figure out. So give me a shout as we do a little heat talk. All righty, Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer DFW, and Freedom 1160 San Antonio. 733, Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom. Another week, another narrative of the downfall of Trump slipping through the fingers of the left. They thought this would stain him for the rest of American history. Alas, alas, tis not so. Mike Gallagher is here. Before we hop into that, Mike, I have news that you may or may not know.
News? I can use?
News you can use.
Yes.
It is a death in the radio family.
Uh-oh.
Any heard anybody in our
recently?
I think the new would have broken overnight. I believe.
No, I didn't hear.
I'm going to give a little clue here.
Okay, right.
This is not, in fact, the voice of the person, but it's the voice of a famous actor playing the person.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Adrian Cronauer has passed away at 79. That, of course, is the great Robin Williams. And, boy, let's triangulate.
Yeah.
Have you seen the HBO documentary about Robin Williams?
Can I tell you the strange process I've just finished last night? And this is how great minds think alike.
Yes.
I finished the documentary about Robin Williams last night as I was reading the biography of Robin Williams, which is this exhaustive, fascinating, compelling story. About his life and his death. A lot of unknown. I'd never heard some of these details of this Lewy brain disease that he had.
Lewy body.
L-E-W-Y. But see, they thought he had Parkinson's. And so they misdiagnosed him. And all of the symptoms of
Lewy body dementia.
He had all kinds of hallucinations and paranoia, and they could not figure out why he was losing weight. He didn't know why. He tried to do that CBS series, The Crazy Ones, if you remember, that was his last work, and everybody said something's wrong.
Oh, where he was in an ad agency?
Yep, he was the dad.
That was
an ad agency.
Pretty good show, because I've always said I can take Robin Williams either in small doses because he makes my brain hurt. Or when he's on the discipline of a movie script, right, where he has at times from, you know, Good Will Hunting to
Fisher King,
World According to Garp. Yeah, he's capable of brilliance.
He was brilliant. He was just a tortured soul. I mean, lifetime of substance abuse and fought that those demons. But the suicide that just took everybody by complete shock. No note. Very meticulous in the way he did it. And it got into, again, some of the unfortunate graphic details of that. But just a fascinating story about a guy who gave so much on stage. And I was reading the book.
Help me out with something, because the reason I mentioned the documentary is I've seen about the first 10 or 15 minutes of it, and it is fascinating. It takes when he was on the Actor's Studio with James Lipton or whatever.
Yep,
that was
yep.
one of my favorite episodes of that.
Yep.
And when he would be on a talk show, when he'd be on Leno or he'd be on Letterman, it was just so manic and so crazy and reminiscent of like Jonathan Winters on acid. And it was Was there genius in there? Absolutely. But was it just running so hot all the time, 12 cylinders? It wore me out, and it apparently wore him out, too.
Literally. And they said his closest friends, Billy Crystal was one of his closest friends, and Billy was interviewed for this documentary, as you know, and his kids and everything. And they said he didn't know how to turn the light out. He didn't know how to extinguish the flame. He was on all the time. And, you know, when you're Robin Williams, one of the most famous people, you know, and certainly in the country, you're always on, you're always performing, and that had to be... That had to be a beating.
Does it deal with this? Because there's something I'd heard in a lot of articles about him, is that as famous as he was, as iconic as he was, it was a constant, almost daily pulse check of how much do they love me? Am I still funny?
Well, that
do I still have it?
That's what drove him into despair. He had these dry spells in his career, and every time he said, it's over, I can't get it back. And his fear, and he spoke of this fear all the time, was if his body doesn't cooperate with his mind, if his mind can't keep up with his thoughts, if he can't, it would be all over for him. And that's what is believed, that was it, that he was in such bad physical shape and with the brain disease, and he just decided, I can't do this anymore. And it's just quite a story.
On this subject, because this is so weird, on this subject, let's take a step to another area, and because here's another confluence. Anthony Bourdain kills himself a few weeks ago. Lisa had just finished reading Kitchen Confidential, his amazing book from the year 2000, before he was that big a deal nationally. So she handed that to me, and we've been watching every episode of every show he ever did, and I just still can't fathom it, and I know I'm not supposed to be able to fathom it. You know, we never know the despair of people who do this, and I know that's what I'm supposed to say. But this guy had so much joy, so much, and it's not about money. There are plenty of rich people who are miserable, but this guy, in everything he did, he swallowed life in huge gulps, a good enough analogy in view of his food life and his travel life. And now there's an article by this woman named Maria Bustillos in something called Popula, P-O-P-U-L-A, Popula.com. She got a hold of him for about a 2.5-hour interview a couple of months before he hung himself from a hotel room door.
Right.
And it's all about the amazing stuff I get to do, and I'm so lucky, I just don't flippin' get it. And it makes me want to live this fantasy in which I or somebody else appears as if like an angel in front of these tortured souls and says, look, I know you're thinking about this. Sit tight. There's help. There's love. There is a God in heaven that loves you. There is a path that look at what you're doing. Look at what you will do to people you supposedly love. And I cannot peel away from this. So the Bourdain thing's still heavy in my head. Too.
Depression is a very difficult thing to interpret and to understand. And I don't mind sharing with you that I am right now in the middle of a kind of a personal drama that somebody very close to me, somebody I care about very, very deeply, who is prone to depression, has now gone dark, and as the kids call it, he's ghosting me. He's not responding 4 or 5 days, very unlike him, and he suffers from depression. And I got a note 4 or 5 days ago, it's my usual depression, and now I'm sort of on the verge of panic because I can't reach him. I care about him very much. I'm worried about him, and I mean no response. Now, what I'm told by professionals, they know that they are worrying people. When they're in that hole, they're kind of aware, but they don't feel like they, when you're in that despair and that dark hole, they feel like I can't burden somebody with my problems.
Right. They're numb to that, because I imagine somebody appearing in Anthony Bourdain's hotel room and saying, you love this daughter of yours, right? You love this daughter of yours, right? Are you going to wreck her life for the next 70 flipping years because you're in some turmoil
doesn't
right
even
now?
Register. And
exactly right. Because that's me not understanding the phenomenon.
Doesn't even
and
register.
I get it. I get it.
I guess
get it.
I get it. I mean,
I don't get it, but I get it.
Because you know the pain they cause is so great. And I'm really, I mean, I'm sort of panicked. I mean, I'm like 4 days and I'm like, come on, talk to me. I know you're in a hole here. Please. No response. Just give me a response.
Has this happened before?
It's the second time it's happened. Second time.
In a period of what?
A year. And so it's happened before. And the explanation is I stay in bed for a few days.
Well, okay.
And I'm like, and doesn't believe, now you want to compound this, doesn't believe in counseling. doesn't believe in therapy,
well,
doesn't believe in any kind of medication.
Probably, is there something else this person doesn't believe in, if you know where I'm headed?
No, he's a believer. I mean, he has a deep faith. I know it. Honest to God. That's the argument. God will get me through this. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes God puts therapists in our lives.
No, yes. It's true.
God has allowed, like the old joke,
I sent you a boat and a helicopter. Boat,
right.
Know, exactly.
God has allowed us to have pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So just pray for this guy.
Listen, by all means, let's all do that. Yeah, we don't need to know who. All we need to know is that it's you and it means something to you.
Yeah,
60 seconds, and then let's – you know, every once in a while, Mike, you know why people love this segment? You know, I love this segment. We all know what today's news is. Blah, blah, blah.
Trump drumbeat.
30 seconds on Adrian Cronauer. Did you ever meet him?
No, I did not, but my boss, get this, my first boss in South Carolina, guy by the name of Jim Burnside, was Adrian Cronauer before he was.
Oh, you doing Armed Forces Radio?
He was doing the Armed Forces. Whoa. He did that shift. He was a radio guy.
You saw the movie, I trust, right?
Oh, gosh.
What an incredible gig that must have been.
Well, now, they said Robin took a lot of
poetic
license.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't quite like that, but still a great gig and a great, if you're a radio guy and you're in war, boy, it doesn't get much better than that.
I had the chance in 1983, I was in Jacksonville doing my first talk show, and I met him, and he was so personal and so great, and I loved it. He passed away at 79 overnight.
Gave me a good idea. I may try to get Jim on the show today.
That'd be awesome. Please do.
Yeah, because he knew Adrian, I think, but I know I'm pretty sure he preceded Adrian in that same radio gig. So I'll see if I can track him down.
So with our remaining minute or two, you know that 72 hours ago, the haters figured that they got him. I've used the coyote roadrunner, but there's Trump, meep, meep, and he's gone. He's gone, and they are the coyote dropping off the cliff.
Yeah.
Helsinki is already more than half forgotten.
Right.
The walkbacks have not been the most artful thing, but whatever. Policies are what matter. You know,
I'll leave you with one thought. I'll leave every never Trumper with one thought.
Yes.
I'll leave everybody who calls themselves a Republican who's decided to go off the ledge.
Yes.
One thought. A record was set yesterday. Senate Republicans broke a record for the number of appeals court judges confirmed during a president's first 2 years. Andrew Oldham has been nominated to be a judge, and the senators voted to confirm him. Fifth Circuit. This is Trump's 23rd Circuit Court judge confirmed.
There you go.
That breaks the previous record set by George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
He got 22 appeals court judges. So now Trump has set a record. He's got the most picks for this key court that, incidentally, will let the party shape the direction of the U.S. court system for decades. So spare me your pearl clutching about whether he said no, yes, would. Stuff is
collusion.
Getting done that matters to this country.
That's it.
So keep that in your pipe and marinate. Let that marinate a little bit as you give
put
me
that
your
in
pearls.
A pot and smoke it.
There you go. There
whatever
you go.
Metaphor you like. I love Mike. Thank you.
Happy
thank you.
Thursday,
thank you,
my friend.
It is a happy Thursday every time I get to talk to Mike here, and every time we get to hear him right here on 660 AM The Answer after we are done, and right around the bend on AM 930 The Answer in San Antonio, proud sister station in the Salem Empire down there in the Alamo City, where we are on in this first hour on Freedom 1160. I'm Mark Davis, 750. There we go. Had to lure him out a little bit. We have a rock and roll birthday to close out the hour. I'm going to say one of the more underrated players. Hey! Yeah, this must be a Queen record. Let Me Entertain You from Jazz.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
You are correct, sir.
Are you ready for some entertainment? Are you ready for a show? Gonna roll you. Get you dancing in the air.
Whether it's We Will Rock You or Fat Bottom Girls. That is the guitar work of Brian May. Brian May. 71 years old today. I cannot wait for the Bohemian Rhapsody movie about the formative days of Queen. Opens in November, I want to say. So what let's do is let's take this hour out. Thanks to everybody in San Antonio for hanging out with us in hour number one on Freedom 1160. And on 660 AM The Answer DFW. Be right back. Everybody stay cool. It's Thursday.
We'll give you crazy for 3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.